God, we come to you this morning and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you because you invite us to seek you and to draw near to you. And you don't make it that difficult. You show us how to. So this morning, God, we would ask that through your word that you would help us to draw near to you and to live as people who seek more and more of you and live closer and closer to your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we are very close to finishing up our little mini-series on practical piety, how to practice the spiritual disciplines. If you want to flip to Matthew 6, that's where we've been, that's where we'll be today. In this, the first half of the chapter, Jesus talks about, okay, how do you live close to God? He's not talking about salvation stuff, like how do you become a Christian, but rather, as God's child, how do you live close to your Father? How do you have a relationship with God? And what we've seen through this, that it's kind of been an underlying theme, is that God wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to live close to Him, and He doesn't make it difficult for us. He shows us how we can very practically spend time with Him and be close to Him. So today, what we're going to look at is, if you're following along, you know what's coming. Verse 16, it's fasting. So Jesus is going to talk to us about fasting. He's going to tell us how to fast, how not to fast. So let's read the text, and then we will talk about it. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be seen by others. May not be seen by others. That not's really important there. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in heaven. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus talks to us about fasting. He says, don't fast, you know, in a public way to be seen by other people. And this is a passage that, it's I don't know about you, but I think a lot of times we read this and we read this commandment, and we say, well, why do we even need a sermon on this? This is something we don't disobey. Jesus is saying, don't fast publicly so people see you. There's no danger of me doing that. I don't really fast that much. I don't know about you. I'm not confessing necessarily. I'm just saying I think that would be a common take on this passage. We read it and say, well, I'm not in danger of breaking that commandment. You have to kind of fast in order to do that. And as a people, just in general, I'm not judging you particularly. You may fast 3 or 4 times a week. But in general, I think fasting is not a common part of our spiritual disciplines. I think that's kind of like a super Christian thing. You know, it's like there's prayer and Bible reading, and I'm going to try to get better at that, but fasting, wow, maybe someday if I'm, you know, really an incredible Christian, like, oh, that probably never, but maybe someday. It's on the maybe someday kind of quasi bucket list. I'll fast someday. So you know, I'm not going to disobey what Jesus said because, well, I'm not going to fast publicly because, hey, don't really fast at all. You could call this the forgotten spiritual discipline. When we talk about spiritual disciplines, what do we say? Well, it's reading the Bible, it's praying, meditating, singing. There's another one. Probably not that important. It's the forgotten spiritual discipline. It's fasting. It's the one that we kind of push off in a separate category, and it's the weird one. We don't talk about it a lot, probably because we don't do it a lot. And so then you think about it, you say, okay, why don't we fast? And that seems like a rhetorical question, right? It's like, well, do we really need to answer that? Why don't we fast? Well, because it's difficult. Who likes to eat? Really? You're going to half lie in church on a Sunday? That's a horrible sin, I think. We love to eat, love food. You're probably thinking about we're talking about not eating, so you're probably going to, we're going to think about what we're going to eat as soon as we leave here. We love to eat. I love to eat. Food is, it's an incredible thing that God has given us, and a great gift. It becomes a huge idol sometimes. We love food. And so when you say, don't, wait a second, what's fasting? Fasting is not eating. There's the rub. I like all the parts of fasting except the not eating part. That's a really difficult part. I don't fast because, well, I don't like to sacrifice myself. That's a hard discipline to do. I don't know what I would get from it other than hungry. I don't know how to do it other than not eating. That's not really something that I practice, so I don't really fast a lot. And then we might tell ourselves, well, okay, maybe fasting would be good and nice. Maybe people used to do it back in the day, you know, but I'm not going to go to hell if I don't fast, am I? I know I'm not. It's grace and God loves me, and that's not like a cardinal sin, so I'm probably okay. I can just eat and somebody else will do the fasting for us. But see, that's not the point. It's not am I going to be separated from God for all eternity if I don't fast. It's what am I missing out on by not fasting? That's a big question, and Jesus kind of tips us off to that. Well, starting out, he takes for granted that his followers would fast. Look at verse 16, Matthew 6:16. What's the second word? Well, I don't know. Everybody has a different version. So in mine, the second word is when. It's not if. And when you fast. So that tells me Jesus just assumed. He didn't even have to tell his followers, y'all need to fast on regular occasion. He just assumed, if you're my follower, if you're seeking after God, you're going to fast. That's like when he taught about prayer. He didn't say, oh, and make sure you pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. So he's just assuming, well, of course you're going to fast. It's like saying, you know, when you breathe, breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. I have little boys, so you know that's something you teach, I guess. I don't know. You don't say, make sure you breathe. So Jesus was assuming that his followers would fast. It was just going to be part of their lives. He assumed that, and that makes sense because throughout all time, if you look backwards in the Bible, God's followers fasted. That was just part of their lives. The Jewish people practiced it. In Matthew 1, flip over back a couple of verses, or a couple chapters. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I think I said that wrong. And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So Jesus fasted. God's people fasted up until Jesus, and Jesus fasted. And then Jesus said, flip over to Luke 5, verse 35. We're going to do a lot of flipping today. You are. I copied the verses into my notes, so I flipped earlier. Now y'all get to. Luke 5, verse 35, Jesus is talking about himself and his followers, and he says, the days will come when the bridegroom, referring to himself, is taken from them, referring to his followers, us, and then they, his followers, will fast in those days. Jesus said, okay, my people will fast. That's just going to be part of your life. And then, as we'll see later, the first Christians continued in that tradition. They fasted. And so when you and I fast, we continue in the tradition of God's people from all time fasting. It would be like saying, well, why do we sing to God? Well, from the very beginning, remember Miriam, Moses' sister, breaking out in song, and before that, God's people sang to him, have always done it, always will. This is just what people who seek after God do. Jesus took it for granted. If you follow me, you'll be fasting. And so then you say, okay, so why would I do that? Jesus thought that I would, assumed that I would, but why would I fast? Look at verse 16 again. Actually, verse 16, and then we'll continue. The second half of verse 16, truly I say to you, they have received their, mine says reward. And then he continues, and he ends in verse 18, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. So he's saying, he's talking about being rewarded in fasting. He says that we receive a reward when we fast, and if you do it wrong, like he talks about here, if you do it for other people to see, you to think, well, wow, what an incredible Christian. I see they are fasting again. Wow. Then you're receiving your reward for fasting. It's other people thinking that you're a great Christian. You receive the respect of other people, the praise of man. But in verse 18, he says there's another reward that you can get. That your fasting is not seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. Jesus is saying there is a reward that we receive from God when we fast. He said, well, what is that? And if I don't fast, am I missing out on that? I think that's a simple, even early Sunday morning logical question that we could answer. Yes. If you read this and said, okay, I'm not going to fast, I don't really fast, then I would read this and I say, I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out on the reward that comes from God for fasting, for seeking Him in fasting. So what is that? What is the reward? Now, if you're an investigative person, you look in there and you're like, okay, keep talking, Jesus, tell me what that reward is. And then He continues with another subject. You're like, what's the reward? What am I missing out on? What do I get when I fast? And He doesn't say. So today, what I want to do is I want to look through the history of fasting, not the whole thing, but I want to look backwards in the Bible and forwards at the Christians fasting, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, the Christians in the New Testament, and say, okay, what are some of the reasons that they fasted for? Why did they say, I'm fasting for this reason? And by looking at that, we are able to see what the reward is when we fast. We're able to see what we get when we fast. Some of the reasons why we would do something so difficult. And let me just start out with a negative, what it's not. When we fast, we don't earn God's favor. That's not the reward. That's not what we get. We don't get more grace. We don't get more forgiveness. You can't become God's child by fasting a certain amount. I can repent and be baptized and give myself to Jesus, or I can fast a lot. You never see that in the Bible. You never see, I've been really bad, so I want God to forgive me. So if I fast enough and pay for my sin, no, Jesus paid for our sin on the cross in Calvary. We are fully loved and accepted in Him, not because we fast. So we don't earn God's love and favor when we fast. So what is the reward? More than anything, I'm going to say the verses out, but remember I have them written in my notes, so I may read them faster than you get there. I apologize. Look at Daniel 9. I think as we look through the history of people, God's people fasting, the reward that you get when you fast is fasting brings an intensity to your search for God. As we seek after God and we live our lives, and there's so much going on around us and we feel so far away from God, and it's just like, I go to church, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm close to God. When we fast, fasting brings an intensity to our search after God. Look at Daniel 9, verse 3. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You see the intensity there? He's seeking after God with fasting. So when we fast, it's not just I'm not going to eat and I'm going to get really hungry. I just got to get through it. It's I'm not doing this because I want to seek God with an intensity that I normally don't feel. And the same hunger the same thing that's making me feel that hunger, that also is driving my intensity. And I'm going to direct that towards my search for God. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to sing throughout the day. And I'm going to seek God with intensity because this hunger is bringing an intensity to my search for God. And then I think, look at Exodus 34. Because of that intensity, we draw near to God when we fast. It fasting makes us advance in our spiritual life in a way that many times doesn't happen without fasting, without prayer and fasting. It connects us with God. It's like a source of a connection between us and God, an intimate connection. It connects us with God and with His power when we fast. Look at Exodus 34, verse 28. And again, it's not like it's a magic eight ball kind of thing where if I just do this and I fast and then all this is going to happen. But there is something that happens when we seek after God with fasting. We draw near to Him with an intensity that we normally don't have. Exodus 34, verse 28, talking about Moses. He says, so he was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He spent an intense time with God, and the fasting was part of that intensity, a part of that drawing close to God. And so you would think, okay, if I'm drawing near to God with intensity, part of fasting, what I get through that is my prayers would be more intense, logically speaking, right? There's a temptation when we fast, so I just got to focus on not eating, and that's so hard in and of itself. I don't even have mental energy to pray. That's not the point of fasting. We fast so that we can pray more and pray with more intensity, talk to God with more intensity. So every time, this is something my mom told me when I was a young kid, and I don't remember why. I think I was going to fast because it was a weird kind of thing. It wasn't really like from the Bible, biblical, but we were going to do like a fast, and we got pledges, and people were going to give us like 5 cents for every hour we fasted or something because we were raising money for a missionary or it was, anyway, not really the way Jesus talks about it, but anyway, so that was kind of my introduction into fasting. And my mom fasted very regularly, and as kids, I mean, she didn't like broadcast it, but we lived in the house with her, so it was like, why aren't you having a sandwich today, Mom? Well, I'm fasting. Okay, so I would ask her, it's like, so how does it work? And the big thing she said was, every time you feel hunger, pray. Just let that kind of be a reminder. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to pray. That's what I'm doing today. I'm praying. So instead of eating right now, I'm going to pray. We pray with more intensity, not just because we're reminded of it because we're hungry, but also because taking food away brings intensity to our dependence on God. It's like, if I don't eat, I'm going to die, and I'm feeling that. My body is slowly starting to die right now. It's horrible. I'm dying of hunger. I depend on something outside of me, on God, for my very survival. So as I talk to Him, I'm going to be conscious of that. We realize how much we need God when we fast, when we take away the thing that keeps us going, which is food. Look at Joel 1:14. How they sought after God and prayed with fasting. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. See what they're doing. They're not just saying, stop eating. It's don't eat and talk to God. So when we fast, we should focus on prayer. We should replace food with prayer and talk with God. And then there's something that you've kind of seen in the verses, but I want to focus a little more on it. It's when we talk to God, we bring our petitions before Him with a different kind of fervor when we're fasting. Again, it's that intensity. So when we're talking to God, it's like, God, would you help me with this? I want your guidance on this. I need this. And that's just normal. But when we're fasting, there's a different kind of fervor when we ask God. It brings a different kind of urgency to what we're asking Him. It's not a guarantee that He'll do what we're saying. You can't say, I'm sick, and so I'm going to fast, and that's going to make it better. God's going to heal me, or He has to do it. I'm fasting. You see what I'm giving up for you? It's not that kind of thing. It's bringing our petitions to Him with more urgency, but always with the, and do your will, not mine, caveat, because He will anyway. Look at Ezra 8:21. 8:21. So they're going to ask God, bring petitions before Him, and look at how they do it. For I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. And then look at why. To seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy in our way, since we had told the king the hand of our God is for good on all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake Him. There's a sermon in that, but not today. Verse 23, so we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. When we're praying and we're asking God for something, it's very appropriate to fast, to pray with fervor. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1. This is when he saw the situation in Israel. He heard of it, and he was going to go to the king. And look at what he did first. He was going to ask something really big for the earthly king. He went to the heavenly king first. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Then look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 15. There's just this pattern of I go to God with these deep needs in prayer and fasting. And I wanted to include this one because This is a time when God said no, even though he was being implored with prayer and fasting. It means that you can go to God and say, please take this away from me. Please change this in my life. I deeply need this. I'm praying, I'm fasting. And God very well may say, that's not my will for you. But even in our fasting, we're humbling himself to his will. So look at 2 Samuel 12, 15. This is after David had committed adultery and murder, and he had a son out of that adultery. And then the prophet Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. So David had a sick child. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood before him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat with them. He fasted until the child died, because God said, no, I'm not going to do what you're asking me. But we implore God when we fast. We bring our petitions before him in prayer and fasting. And we don't just ask him. Fasting is part of what we receive when we fast. It is a fervor in our repentance and coming before God and saying, I'm confessing my sin. And I'm wrong, and I want to change, and I'm deciding to change. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. We do that with intensity when we fast. We can repent, and we should repent all the time. Every time we do something we shouldn't do, we should say, God, I'm sorry, I just did that. I know you've forgiven me in Christ now. Help me change. But when we fast, we come before God and say, I'm confessing this sin, and please change me. Make me different. And there's something about giving up food that makes us just be open to God's will and say, if I can give up food and not eat, then I can give, my flesh can give up this sin as well. There's something about praying and fasting and repenting in prayer and fasting that can break the power of sin over us, specific persistent sins that we just can't leave behind. Look at Psalms 35. So in the Bible, there's a history of people praying and repenting with fasting. Psalms 35, 13, but I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with the head bowed on my chest. Flip over to Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. And blow the trumpet in Israel. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. That's God saying, repent to his people, to people who are his children. Turn back to me. And turn back and don't just say, sorry, God, and then continue. Turn back to me and empty yourselves, humble yourselves and fast. Pray and fast and mourn and repent in a deep, deep way, which is what we do when we repent as we're fasting. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. The people had gone back to the land, and then they had turned back to sin, and look at what they did. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And then Jonah chapter 3. I love this. It's kind of a long passage, but it's beautiful. When Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, people who weren't even God's chosen people, and he said, you've rebelled against the king of the universe, paraphrase, and he's going to kill you because you deserve his wrath. Look at how they repented. And look at how not eating food was such a huge part of their repentance. And the people of Nineveh believed God. Did I say the verse? Jonah 3, verse 5. That's just extra work for you as we're searching. Jonah 3, verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. So even the animals were fasting. Let them not feed nor drink water, and let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone, and see the repentance with that, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is on his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. When we fast, we should confess to God. It's not just, I'm going to pray with fervor. It's, I'm going to pray with fervor, and I'm going to confess. I'm going to say, God, all last week, I was just an impatient jerk to everybody in my house, and I repent of that. I confess that before you. And it's not saying, please, please, please forgive me. It's because I'm forgiven in Christ. So I thank him for that. But it's, God, I so badly want to be different. And as I'm turning away from food, I want to also turn away from this sin. We repent when we fast. We tell God what we're going to do. And you know when we do that? One of the rewards of fasting is that God changes us. And in the moment, it doesn't feel like a reward. Because if you fasted, you know this. What comes out of you when you're fasting? Are you like a holy, happy, you know, little halo around your head, just like the nicest person to be around as you're going through a fast? And everybody's like, oh, I'm so glad that he's fasting today. He's such an angel. Tomorrow when he's eating food, he's just going to be back to his old normal self. No, when we fast, it's like all of our sin comes out of us. If you have any anger or impatience or meanness or just or depression or anything bad, especially at emotional level, that we kind of keep down, when we fast and take the covering of food away, and now it's like I'm just kind of like laid bare and exposed, my meanness comes out. And you become kind of a bad person, like the real person that you really are, because it's like your protective covering of food that kind of keeps you in line is not there. And you're at first, you're like, well, then that's bad. Why would I do that? Fasting makes me sin. No, the sin's in your heart. That's who you are. God's gift to us when we fast is he brings it out. He uncovers it and he says, look at who you really are. And as we repent and God brings our sin out, he's transforming us. He's showing us what we're like and he's giving us the opportunity to repent of that and to turn away to accept what we're really like. He transforms us when we fast. He gives us discipline when we fast, because if you can give up food, you can obey God in so many other areas. It makes you say, yeah, I could do that. I could ask that person to study. I could persevere in the ministry God's given me. I could turn away from that sin. Compared to not eating, all of that is not nearly as difficult. God changes us when we fast. And we worship God when we fast. Look at a beautiful story in Luke 2. You say, how is us worshiping God a gift to us? You know how when you're singing and you just feel connected with God? Part of the reward of fasting is we worship God. We sacrifice our food and we're showing how important God is. Look at the story in Luke 2:37 of Anna the widow when Jesus was brought into the temple to be presented. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. When we fast, we should sing. We should pray and express how great God is, because we're worshiping him when we fast. And lastly, we seek God's guidance when we fast. That's a gift that God gives us. Part of the reward is God guides us when we fast. He shows us what's important. He shows us what his will is. He breaks through and helps us see how we should be living and what we should be doing and what we should be focusing on. This is what Christians have done and God's people have done for all time. Look at Acts 13, verse 2. Look at how fasting is connected with receiving God's guidance. And I think what happens is that when we fast, clarity comes because we're focused on our life and we're focused on living and we're not thinking. And then when we fast, it's like we step away and God has moments where he can break it and guide us. Look at Acts 13, verse 2. When they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. God guided the whole church. They were fasting together. And then in Acts 14, 23, Paul, and this is part of Paul's missionary journey. Look what it says. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed to them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And then Acts 9, 9, This is when Paul was struck with blindness, and he didn't know. He was in the most confused part of time of his life, because this Jesus who had been persecuting appeared to him and maybe a Savior and Lord. How is that working? What is my life going to look like now? And for 3 days he was without sight. And this is conjecture. I'm guessing that he was begging God, tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. What is my life? He was asking God for guidance. I read that into the text. I'm guessing, just thinking where he was at. And he neither ate nor drank. He was fasting. He was praying. So, if Jesus assumed that his followers would fast, if Jesus said that his followers would be rewarded when they fast, if fasting brings us intensity to our search for God, we should fast. We should seek God with regular prayer and fasting. And if you say, okay, I'm going to eat this afternoon, but I'm sure sometime I'll fast. I'll say yes to that. I'll do that. I'll fast. But I wouldn't even know how to start. You just have to answer three things for yourself. How are you going to fast? Well, fasting is not eating. It's not eating food. Can I drink water? A lot of times they didn't drink water, but it's pretty healthy to drink water, so I'm not going to say don't drink water. It's a good idea, especially if you're just starting. Don't eat food, but drink water. Keep yourself hydrated. But that's between you and God. You can decide what your fast is going to look like, if it's a liquid fast or a solid fast or or a complete fast. But it's basically, main thing, don't eat food. And then do it for the right reasons, like what Jesus said in Matthew 16. When you're fasting, don't do it so that other people will see you. Do it so that you can seek after God. And then you have to decide, when am I going to do it? And this is the part where we say, yeah, I'm going to fast. I'm going to put that on my to-do list. And then we just never do it. So to make it real practical, if you say, I think I should, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to, decide when. Decide how long you're going to fast for. Are you going to fast for a morning? Are you going to fast from the time you wake up until the time the sun goes down? For a day? For 24 hours? For a weekend? What is a fast going to look like for you? And then, when are you going to do it? Is it going to be like a special occasion thing? Are you going to fast, like before a big decision? Or are you going to fast like once a week or once a month or have a day? It's really helpful if you decide to make fasting part of your life, that you decide, I'm always going to fast on this day of the week or on this day of the month or this day of the year. Whatever that your regular routine looks like, because fasting is so hard to do that if you don't have a regular routine, probably not going to do it. And then while you're fasting, focus on seeking communion with God. Pray and read the Bible and sing. Focus on your relationship with God and seeking after God that day. I'm going to leave you with a practical step. If you're listening to all this and you say, I should fast, but I'm not a Christian. How does that work? I would encourage you, your first step is not to fast. Your first step is to draw near to God and make Him your Father. Accept His forgiveness. Become His child. Your first step is to give yourself to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to repent and be baptized. I'm going to let you be the Lord of my life and my Savior. And in this community, when you're ready to do that, just tell someone. You can make that decision. If you've already made that decision, you say, so what's my practical step? I would say, listen to God. Ask Him, do you want me to fast? When do you want me to fast? And then decide that you're going to do it. Decide when you're going to do it. And then do it. It's as simple as that. Ask God, listen to Him, tell Him, ask Him if you should do it, decide what you're going to do, decide when you're going to fast, and then just do it and make it a regular part of your life. Why don't we stand? We'll sing together, we'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to You and we thank You because You are good. Thank You because You invite us to draw near to You. You invite us to do things like pray and fast and sing and read Your word. And when we do all of that, we receive the incredible reward of living in Your presence. So God, I pray that You would help us to be a community of individuals who live regularly, daily in Your presence. Of people who aren't content to be close to You on Sunday. Of people who want to be with You all the time. And God, I pray that as we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us as you have promised to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.